This morning we're going to be looking at a theme that whole year long, Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done. Part of God's will for us, and certainly how we enter the kingdom, how we're restored to the kingdom, is when we can let go, isn't it? Clenched fist. You know, what does this mean? If you see a clenched fist, what does it mean? It means somebody's angry, right? You don't want to see somebody coming with a clenched fist. Or a clenched fist means you're hanging on to something. Yeah, you're hanging on for dear life. How many of you are hanging on to something for dear life? You want that thing so badly, you just... And the thing is that we come into the relationship with God with open hands. An open hand means that I'm not going to fight you. You know, when we say hi, we don't have a weapon in our hands. We open hands is how God works in our life, and it's so hard to do. There's a story in the Old Testament about a prophet, Elijah, a big-time prophet. God's working in him, and then a widow. And a widow, an orphan as well. And it's kind of interesting. We would think the way God works is God tells the prophet that you go now and you minister to the widow and to the orphan. But God had something else in store. God told the prophet, you go to the widow and let her minister to you. And why is that? Because God wants all of us. It doesn't matter who we are. He wants all of us to have open hands. He doesn't want us to hang on to what we have. This story James 1 says this about orphans and widows. Religion that our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Care for those that are needy. That's what it's all about. That's what our thought is. But in this particular story, what happens is that God is working in a different way. He's trying to say, it doesn't matter if you're a widow or orphan. You too are called to be a giver, to open up your hands, to release those things that you have. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the prophet. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon. Go to this foreign country and stay there. Get out of your comfort zone and a place that I'm going to take you on an adventure, but I want to do something. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. Now, it's interesting how God sometimes speaks to us and we don't hear that message. How many of you have kind of got a hard head as far as God's concerned? I mean, God may be banging on you. Hey, it's kind of like that. I love that. McFly? What was he in? You remember McFly? What was it? Back to the Future. Back to the Future. And he's getting knocked on his head. McFly, bang, bang, bang. How many of us need to get knocked on our head sometimes? God's saying, hey, trying to get your attention. This is God speaking, and you're not listening. Well, so here we go. He goes to Zarephath, and he came to a town gate, and a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and said, would you give me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? By the way, this is a good way to get a foot in the door. Can you give me something that you would easily have and something you can give away easily? And she said, well, sure, I'll go do that. And so while she was going to get it, he said, and by the way, there's just one more thing I want you to do. Bring me, please, a piece of bread. Now, that's kind of like the guy that says, hey, can you give me a ride to the store? And by the way, can you buy something in the store for me while I'm there? You know, it's kind of like this is what he's doing. And so this is what the woman says. As surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. That's kind of a pleasant thought, isn't it? This is going to be our last supper. It's all we have. I don't have anything to give away. How many of you have been at that point where you said, I have nothing left to give? I don't have anything more to give. I'm done. I'm tapped out. I'm at the end of my rope. Don't ask me for anything. And yet God, in his mercy, will reach out to those of us most marginalized, most depressed, most out of sorts, most with the least resources and said, you're the one I've chosen to give something away. And he says this, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. I've got it under control. What you need to do is open your hands, because when we open our hands, God's able to do a work within us. As long as we keep our fists clenched, God can't work in us. He's got to say, release, release. And this is what was happening. She went away, did as Elijah had told her, and so there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. That's an Old Testament story. New Testament, Jesus sees this widow. He said he looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts in the temple treasury, and he saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. And he said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. How many of you have seen poor people more readily give than rich people? Have you seen that happen? This just happens all the time. People who are impoverished give their food away, give their clothes away. Yeah, they don't have anything left, but you know what they do have left? Is God's blessing in their life when they give. Because when they give, something happens. When we give, something happens. Something happens to us when we release. When we just say, Lord, I'm opening up my hands. I'm not gonna have clenched hands. There's another story that I love. It's a story that about this landowner, and it says it's like the kingdom of heaven. This landowner who goes in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard, and he agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. Now a day started at 6 a.m., right? Sunrise. How many of you are sunrise to sunset kind of people? You get up, any crack of dawn people here? Any Joe, Carol, good, bless, good. This is, you will appreciate these people. They were up there early. They were ready to go. They had been showered. They were shaved. They were ready to go work. And the landowner says, okay, you guys are great. I'm hiring you, the best of the bunch, up early, ready to go. He hires them. And they're saying, man, we're great. We're the ones early bird gets the worm. We're doing it. And then about 9 o'clock, the landowner comes and says, I need more workers. And he saw people in the marketplace. They weren't working. He said, hey, would you like to work? And they said, yeah, man, this is great. And so these guys said, gosh, we get in on almost a full day's work. They're excited about it. The guys who are already there said, man, this is great. Some more people coming on in. They're all excited. Oops, and I goofed it again. John, I'm sorry. One of these days I'm going to learn how to do this right. I know, I'm going to fire me. By the way, Larry, by the way, I usually limit what he's able to say in a church service. But Larry is able to speak a little bit. You may notice some of this paint job. Wherever there's paint spills, that's Larry. Larry's been painting around here. We are looking for painters. Did we announce that we are looking for people that are painting on Monday? This is a good story here. You can come early. You can be there all day. You can put in a 12-hour day if you'd like. You can put in a noon till 6, you know, which is 6 hours. You can put a 6-hour day, or you can put in a 3-hour day. That's more my style. How many of you are more?
Fairly easy.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Right. Thanks, Larry. You've used up your quota, Larry. So this is, he went out again about noon and 3 a.m. and did the same thing. And these people said, great, I'll come. And so he had more workers, and they were saying, you know, 3 hours, good deal. I'm working. And then at 5 o'clock, we had this 1 hour worker. How many of you are 1 hour workers? You're good for 1 hour. It's, maybe 1 hour. And about 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one's hired us. Because we're kind of lousy. We're weak. We're not good looking. We just don't have it together. We're kind of the last of the workers. Have you ever come across the last of the, I guess we'll use them. You know, it's not really. I tell you what, I used to work at a grocery store and I was sort of hired that way. Well, maybe we'll hire you, see how you do. I was bad. I was terrible. I was a terrible worker. Do not hire me in a grocery store. But it was these guys who were the lousy, but they hired them anyways. And they're ecstatic. We're hired. Let me tell you something. The blessing always is in the service. Because when they came to pay out, it wasn't a denarius that they were working for. It was for the joy of being involved in what God was up to. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, going to the first. And the workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. And they're ecstatic. They're way more than they expected. And they say, gosh, what's going on here? And what was going on is that God has a sense of humor. He is always surprising us with blessings beyond our understanding in ways that we have not plotted or planned. They were planning to receive a certain amount of money. They got way more than that. They had it in their mind. And then he goes on to say, those who were hired first, they expected to receive a lot more now that these other guys got what they thought they would receive. But each one of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. How many of you have said, that isn't fair? I have a right to be angry. And there. I remember my mom. There were 3 of us, my brother, sister, myself. And she would have a Pepsi Cola, and she would get 3 glasses and put ice in them, and she would pour Pepsi into the 3 glasses for the 3 of us. Let me tell you something, we were living it up when we got our Pepsi on a hot summer day. I tell you, I remember that, and nothing tasted so good as the Pepsi Cola that I had as a kid at that time, and my mom. And guess what we used to say as we would look at getting divvied up? How'd you know? How'd you know? Hey, you got more. Hey, you got more than me. And my brother even admits to this day, he will admit to this day that he would put extra ice in ours so he would get more. I mean, that's my brother for you. I never trusted my brother. I mean, and we made sure. Hey, no, yeah, no, no, no. And I remember my mom listening to this and then taking every single glass and dumping it all down the drain. And I couldn't believe it. Our tongues are just hanging there. Huh? It was all dumped down the drain. Oh my gosh. Boy, did that make an imprint on my mind. But it's kind of the way we are, isn't it? We have been given life itself. We can breathe, we can see, we can walk, we can taste, we can touch, and we say, well, it's not fair. It's not fair. This person is good. It's not fair. And Jesus is saying, as long as you're saying it's not fair, what you're doing is you're clenching your fists. That's not fair. That's not fair. He says, open it up. I can't give you the kingdom unless your hands are open. As long as those fists are closed, I can't do anything. The answer to them, I'm not being unfair to you. My friend, didn't you agree to work for a denarius, take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you, but don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Are you envious because I'm generous? And then he goes on to say, oops, I did it again. John, help me. John, help me. Help me. Okay, here we go. It's this phrase that we know so well. So the last will be first, and the first will be last, because that's the way I do things. I don't do things according to fairness. I do things according to my grace and mercy, and because of I love you in a way that you can't understand. I just do things differently. I try to expand you and grow you. I don't want you to stay the same. I want to keep on working in your heart and life. You know, I was coming across this Bible. It was out in the bookshelf this morning. I picked it up, and as I was looking at it, because there's a passage I wanted to read, it was out fell this letter, and I was thinking, my gosh, what a letter. It's this letter from this woman to her Uncle Ken, and she's just saying how much she loved him. And then she said, I would so have loved to come to share in the services honoring your life and your death, leaving from us, but on to greater things in God's kingdom. But since I couldn't be there, I wanted to do something on my own to show my feelings at this time. And she wrote this letter. And she wrote the letter about how much she loved Uncle Ken and how Uncle Ken offered to raise her when she was a child and how much that meant to her and how she loved him as a father and how she loved Uncle Ken. But you know what? She had to let Uncle Ken go. Something so precious to her. She let him go. I know that when I was in high school, I lived for three things. I lived for basketball, I lived for baseball, and I lived for my girlfriend, you know? And it was in that order, I have to say. It was kind of, you know, there was the three important things in my life, and I go off to college, and I say, man, I'm going to live for basketball. And then and in the middle of my season, right before exams, I come down with a bleeding ulcer, and I had to quit the basketball team. And then I said, well, I still got my girlfriend and baseball. And then so I tried out for baseball. I played for George Mason University. I was in on the grass, and there was a ball that bounced up and hit me square in between my bridge of my nose, broke my nose. And so I had to quit playing for the summer. I was going to play in the fall, and I stood there against the University of Maryland in College Park, and I saw this curveball. I knew it was going to be a curveball because it was coming right at my head, and I was going to watch it curve down. The thing didn't curve. It just kind of rose right up into my teeth and just smashed my teeth. Every time I see a dentist, they say, you know, you got some funky teeth in there. And I said, yeah, it happened when I was 19 years old. And then I was sent a letter that I wanted to go down and see my girlfriend. She was going to Roanoke College, and I was in George Mason. I wanted to go down and see her. She says, it's not a good idea that you come down this weekend because I've got a date with somebody else. I'm like, what is this? You know, I still want to grasp and hang on to certain things in life. Quite frankly, I still have dreams. I don't have dreams about that girlfriend, but I do have dreams about playing baseball. I still have dreams because I gave it up. I had to let go, and I didn't want to. It still comes to me. I'm still clinging to certain things all the way back then. All the way back. You know, we cling to certain things that we didn't get as children. There are certain of us did not have a father or mother that supplied some things, and we're clinging. We want to grasp it. We want to hold on to it. We catch a little bit of it in somebody else, and we want to hold on to it, and then something happens, and and we're exploded, and we're left with just clenched fists. How many of us have been hurt, and then it moves into anger? Hurt that moves into anger, and with clenched fists. And that clenched fists is just impossible to meet with God with clenched fists. It's impossible. We have to let go. We have to let go of our loved ones. We have to let go of the things that we've loved. We have to let go of the things that we hold dear. We have to let go of it all. And Jesus says, I want to fill you up, but you've got to let go. I want to fill your hands, but you've got to let go. It's open hands. It's an open hand policy that God's looking for. He's looking to fill open hands. You know, when we pray, we don't play with clenched fists, do we? We pray with open hands. It's how God speaks to us. He speaks to us with open hands. Lord, I pray for those of us as we gather here. I pray that we are able to open our hands. It's so hard to do because then we can't defend ourselves. With clenched fists, we can start swinging. But with open hands, we can't defend ourselves. We're vulnerable. Open hands mean that we are not going to fight. We're going to let you take control. Open hands means that we are open to giving and serving. We're not hanging on to the things that have been precious to us. We're letting go. We just pray for open hands. Open hands in Jesus' name.